This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Bart, you ready? Week 14, as we get closer and closer to the end of this season, and we go right now to Blitz or Prevent.
This is Blitz or Prevent.
So our first game, Bart, and we got some good 1 o'clock games.
We do.
Chiefs and the Dolphins. Chiefs 11-1, Dolphins 8-4, 1 o'clock game. Chiefs right now are laying 7 as a road team. And this will be an interesting test for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and that offense, because Miami does have a top-flight pass defense. They've allowed the second-lowest total QBR, 56, this season. Watch the matchup of Tariq Hill against Xavier Howard, who has, he, by the way, has yielded the lowest NFL passer rating of 40 and a nearest defender this season. Can't read my own writing. From Miami's perspective, however, Tua Tagovailoa is back now as a starting quarterback again. And, you know, can he match Mahomes in a game that Vegas has set a relatively modest over-under at 50? The Dolphins have offensive efficiency of 44.7. That's from 0 to 100. And, you know, Tua, as the start of the season, is a big part of that. It's the lowest of any starting quarterback, however, with a winning record this season. So low efficiency when Tua's out there, and that certainly has got to get better. Maybe that's why the low over-under. So here's your Blitz of Prevent after all that stat, all those numbers I gave you. Even before the Steelers' undefeated season was stopped last week, KC still felt like the best team in the league. They already clinched a playoff berth, and a win here locks up the AFC West. But their eyes are on that top seed. Now, here's the question. In a year where capacity crowds are certainly not a factor at all, does home field still matter in the playoffs?
Well, it's going to matter for certain organizations in certain markets, right? Because Kansas City is one of the teams that allows fans in. You think
very
Dallas
few
allows
them
a little bit. Yeah, but because it's one of the loudest stadiums in the league, it's always loud enough, and it's enough to give the home team just an advantage from an energy standpoint, just so they don't come out flat, you know, cheering for them, also making enough noise that it's not easy communication amongst the, you know, the opposing team during passing situations, just kind of making it a little bit more difficult. And also understanding where the divots are, right? It's important to know where the divots are in the field, right? We all have fields, and knowing the field and knowing how to cut on grass.
Knowing where the divots wet. Are in your stadium? That, really?
Yeah. Well, listen, the guys know how to run, what type of shoes to wear, right? How slick the facilities okay. is. Whenever we went to Denver, Denver's soil had a bit of like oil once you get past a little. If you wear the really deep ones, you're going to slip all the time. You had to wear the high ones or the molds because they had longer grass. So understanding those little things. We heard how people say when they come to the Meadowlands, how they come to MetLife, you know, how they keep pulling up and hurting themselves, because it's all about knowing what to wear and how to play, be most effective. That's an added advantage, knowing your home field. It's like shooting on your rim. Which one's the tight one? Which one's the loose one? Which one's got the soft back?
So the familiarity is what matters.
Exactly. Familiarity, yes. I think it does matter. What's going to be interesting about this game is I think Fitzpatrick gives him a better chance to win because he can exploit this Kansas City's bad defense and understand how to exploit them because he's seen it before. I think Miami's making it more difficult on themselves by going with Tua because Tua's not ready to compete. He has to go throw for throw. Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't care. He can get hot. When he gets hot, his teams can beat anybody.
All right, well, certainly keep an eye on the quarterback there. But, you know, for Tua, this is an interesting matchup for him. But that Dolphins defense, to me, that's really where the matchup is to watch. Next game, Vikings and the Bucks. Vikings at 6-6, hanging on as they're making their push. Bucks also hanging on. They're 7-5. 1 o'clock game, as I said, and the Bucks are favored by 6.5 here. Minnesota's quest to bounce back after a 1-5 start to clinch a wild card might have to include doing something this franchise has never done, Bart. You know what that is?
What's that?
Beat Tom Brady. Since TB12 entered the league, the Vikings are 0-5 against him. Did you know the Vikings are one of four teams in the NFL that Brady has never lost to? He's 5-0 against Minnesota, as we mentioned. 5-0 against the Cowboys. 6-0 against the Falcons, that other team. That'd be the Bucks, and we think that unless he changes teams, his 4-0 record against the Bucks will probably stand the test of time. For now, he's trying to get the Bucks back to their winning ways and find themselves in the fading in that NFC South contention, and now in the wild card mosh pit that nobody wants to be in. Sure, they're going to make the playoffs, and a win increases that probability, according to FPI, to 98%. So this is an important game for them for sure. Brady is looking to avoid his first regular season 3-game losing streak since 2002, speaking of 2002. So Blitz or Prevent, is there such a thing as having too many weapons? Here's why. With Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Antonio Brown all in the lineup together, the Bucs are 1-3. And with AB, they've gone from a team that's averaged 30 a game to a team averaging 24 a game. Too many weapons? Is that an issue?
I mean, it could be, right? It's really what it's about. It's people accepting and embracing their roles. We see the same thing in Cleveland, right? No Odell Beckham. All of a sudden, the team plays well, plays better. How can you be better without, you know, arguably one of the top 15 receivers in the league? And it happens because it's, everybody's bought in. Everybody understands what they need. Nobody's out there begging for the ball. Beckham's not, you know, there to demand his touches and try and get him involved. So you see the same thing, I think, happen in Tampa. It's about what's the hot hand. I think their best personnel is actually two tight ends, not going with the three wides, but that's the way they go. Brady leads the league with 14 touchdowns, I believe, with two tight ends on the field. And also that helps you out in your running game. I think this team should be led by its running tech game, just like the Cleveland Browns are in Cleveland. That's the more effective way to do it. Let's hope and let's see if they were able to come to some type of compromise over this bye week, and Bruce Arians and Tom Brady can go hash it out on the beach somewhere, or, you know, sit up in back of Tom's, you know, palatial estate. I know he's not at Jeter's house no more, but come in and kind of figure out, listen, this is how we got to go about it. We saw this marriage take place in Denver when they decided, hey, we're going to go with Peyton Manning's offense because we want him to be more comfortable. So we shall see.
I'm curious to see if Brady and Arians ever do have that conversation you keep saying they need to have, but Brady, it's not his way to do that. You know, Peyton probably would have by now. Brady wouldn't have. All right, next game up. Colts at 8-4 at the Raiders at 7-5, a 4 o'clock game. Colts right now at home, I mean, as a road team, is favored by 3, last I checked. Huge game for both teams in the AFC wild card. A lot of wild card implications on the line. So this game may be a game to take the over, by the way. It's set at 51. The Colts have allowed 32 points per game in the last 3 weeks, the fifth most in the NFL, after allowing under 20 points a game through week 10, which was the fourth best. The Raiders got beat by 37 against your beloved Falcons team that was 3-7 at the time, and it took a miracle for the Raiders to beat the freaking Jets. A miracle or maybe a gift, who knows? The Raiders defense has given up 29 points a game this season, which is fifth worst in the NFL. A whole lot of offense to expect in this game. Only one playoff team in history has allowed 28 points per game in the regular season, so history's not on their side when it comes to the Raiders making the playoffs. John Gruden's offense has managed to overcome the defense with a high-scoring offense. Vegas has scored 30 points 7 games this season, tied for the second most in the NFL, and they've gone 6-1 in those games. So conversely, they're 1-4 when they fail to score 30 points. I know it's a lot of numbers, but blitz or prevent, do we trust either one of these teams as an AFC dark horse? Again, the Raiders, albeit hit by injuries and the COVID list and everything else, they almost lost to the Jets.
Yeah.
And for a minute, the Colts look like a dragon slayer, but they've been getting pummeled a lot lately, too. DeForest Buckner has been everything for Indy, but he can't do it all. No, you trust either one of these teams?
Well, it's tough to trust them because in recent history, they've shown us that they're regressing. They started off strong, but we don't know if they have what it takes to finish. You look at the Colts and what they've been able to do, they got trampled and trounced, and I think they got their soul ripped out by Tennessee and Derrick Henry, what he did to them. And really, I think the Raiders are more about missing, you know, their most important piece in Jacobs,
right,
who sets the tone for them.
And he's back this week.
So, allegedly, we'll see how great he is, how he feels, if we're going to get a full load or if we're going to get just pieces of him, and then they have to go to Jalen Richard, who's more of a third down back. But I believe that the Raiders have what it takes, but I trust the Colts a little bit more. With that being said, I don't trust either one of them.
No. And I thought maybe the Colts looked like that team that could be a potential
dark horse.
Because defensive,
offensively, Phillip Rivers just isn't getting it done. If they can't be number one defense like they were 4 weeks ago,
right,
I don't know if they can be effective.
Yeah, something's happening to them of late. We'll see if they can get it right. Last game, Steelers now at 11-1 at the Bills at 9-3. This is your Sunday night game. The Bills, now this started with the Steelers favored by 1. Now it's moved to, last I saw, Buffalo favored by 2. So you got Buffalo given 2. The Bills, I thought, made a statement last week, last Monday Night Football against. And I know the Niners are banged up and whatnot, but
the 39ers.
Still, yeah, the way the Bills looked, that's a statement. And so the question is, what would a win against the 11-1 Steelers on Sunday night say about Sean McDermott's team, aside from the fact that they're obviously ready for primetime? All right, I have so much envy for the Bills, starting with McDermott, the coach who's done a great job, Leslie Frazier, who's their defensive coordinator, who's been fantastic, and of course, and history will show it, you can find the tapes, my favorite quarterback prospect in the 2018 draft, Josh Allen. Brandon Bean's done a nice job building his team, tough along the line of scrimmage, weapons to benefit his young quarterback. I know I'm gushing. I'll try to back off. Okay, yeah. I'll stop. That's meanwhile,
this is New York's team, man.
I guess they are now. They are New York's team, but there's so much about them to like. Meanwhile, what's going on with the Steelers? Mike Tomlin, he looks annoyed now. He looks like an angry dad when his kids are acting up, right? Like, he doesn't like the way his team's playing. That second half was awful against Washington. He almost predicted that as an upset. And here's a stat worth keeping an eye on against the Bills' solid pass defense. The Steelers have dropped 31 passes this season, the most in the NFL. They have 12 drops in their last two games, including 7 in Week 13 against Washington. The 7 drops were the most by the Steelers in the last 15 years. So blitz or prevent, are the Steelers relying on Big Ben's arm too much? Over the first 6 games, they were running the ball at a rate of 129 yards a game. Over the last 6, that's dropped to 55 per game. Yeah. And in the last 5 games, Roethlisberger has thrown over 40 passes in each. Should they back off Big Ben's arm?
I mean, when you look at it, their passing game is an extension of the running game. It's a lot of short stuff. Juju Smith shoots a lot of screens. The issue was James Conner got COVID, and it kind of slowed everything else down. Marquise Pouncey got hurt, or Maurice Pouncey. I always mix them up, double man twins, whatever. You know, he got hurt, so he's going to be coming back. So they hope and they think that when James Conner comes back and you have Pouncey, that they'll be able to, you know, re-implement this run game, who's been kind of dormant, you know, over time. I think Benny Snell and things like that. But they've been playing, you know, walking a tightrope all year. You know, they've been a team that's been kind of playing down to the competition, and it finally caught up with them last week, not being able to have those concentration drops. Because that's what it is. It's a lack of concentration when you have some of the drops that they had. They really weren't looking the ball in. But on the flip side, you look at this Buffalo team. It's a complete team. It's a team that's third in offense. It's a team, Josh Allen, I think, you know, last week, you know, got over the top throwing for 375 yards. Remember before the season started, he had never threw for 300 yards before. Mm-hmm. Now he's throwing for 300 yards, it seems like, every week. And, you know, Brandon Bean going and getting Stephon Diggs.
Yes.
And what he's been able to do. And he just got an extension rewarded for all the moves that he's made to place the Buffalo Bills where they need to be. I think this is a solid team. This is a very dangerous game for the Steelers, who's still trying to hope and fight for that number one one seed. Remember, this year, only one team gets to bye this year. And you think about the Steelers, they hope to have it, but right now it's looking like it's probably going to be Mahomes is to lose.
And it's Marquise Pouncey, by the way, and he is back off the COVID list.
Marquise, I don't care. I hate both of them. One is the reason why I had to retire. His brother is the one from the Dolphins. He jumped on my back when I was tackling Reggie Bush, and that's what destroyed my toe and ended up retiring me. So if I see both of them, I'm going to smack both of them. And I can't respect two twins that kiss each other. I don't care if that is your brother. You don't kiss your brother in the mouth. Real odd, man. It reminded me of Birdman and Baby.
All right, well, that's Blitz of Prevent. Kind of, a lot of insight from bottom.
What kind of incest are y'all doing?
Great job. Whoa. Great job.
Kissing your brother.
Amazing.
Oh, my God. That's great.
Give your brother a hug and pat him on the back. You'll kiss your brother tomorrow. Congratulations. Mwah. What the hell?
Hey, Skip on Twitter said, listening to Bart talk about home field advantage and the intricacies of it is fascinating. Stuff I never thought of. Like, is it honestly, it's about, like, the divots in the ground, like, the turf, the field, you're right, though, because when you play, like, for basketball, when you're in the gym, like, it's your rim, like, you know those rims, you know, like, you have that feel for the building. You know, baseball's the same thing. This is our stadium. It's built for us. Like, we're built for this stadium and the way it's laid out. It's every building is different with the dimensions. Yeah, football field is the same thing. It's 100 yards, doesn't change.
Yeah, but depending on
that. But yet you say there still are things about the field, though, that
And it's mainly your footwear. It's mainly your footwear. Knowing, do I wear the nubs? Do I wear the 3/4? Or do I wear the 1/2 inch? Which ones do I wear? Do I want to wear the molds? Or do I want to wear the ones with the steel tips? Because if it digs too deep, if I try and bend the corner real fast, I'm going to slip out. You know, if you look at the Jets, if you like, if do I have fast turf or do I have short turf? Do I have turf where I want to put cleats on? Do I have turf that I want to wear the turf shoes on? Because if I bend the corner, I'm going to get too much tread and I might blow my knee out. So I need to figure out what I want to wear, right? So that's usually what you need to know. Because like, you need to know and trust that the ground and your feet is going to stay underneath you if you got to make a hard turn. It's like being in NASCAR, right? You got to know when you got to let off the gas and when you can accelerate into the turn. That only happens if you know the feel, if you know the certain parts. You know, sometimes you even know where the sprinkler systems are, where the divots are, where you don't want to step.
I can't imagine that's on your mind as you're just running with a bandit.
No, but before in pregame, like guys don't know, and then remember in pregame, you're not going as fast as you're going to go.
I get it.
Yeah, you're not going as fast as you can go. And then what happens is, I mean,
Mickey Mantle's career changed because of a drain that was on his own home field.
And he stepped on it.
That he should have known about.
Yep.
Right? So when you're in a game, you're not really, you know, that awareness isn't there. But I see what you're saying. You're talking about more pregame and just prepare.
I know certain places.
Because they say sometimes a team that goes on the road, you get a little closer, like especially for a playoff game because you're together. No. You're not coming from home and going to the building. But
have you ever seen somebody like they run into the sideline and everybody's changing their cleats and you see the trainer with the drill and he's changing stuff out. Like, man, I keep slipping. It's like NASCAR, right? But it could be too late. It could be too late for everybody to get them changed. It could be too late to get everybody's changed. So then the other team is getting in. You ever seen a game where guys are just slipping all the time? Like Kansas City, the last Monday night game, they were having guys just slipping everywhere for no reason. And then those can lead to turnovers, right? So guys slip trying to come out of a cut because certain places where you can be reckless, it's like sticky. Like you oh man, I can come in here and I only got to break down. I can chop down late. And certain ones, I better break down really quick if I got to try and come out of this cut or come out of this blitz or bend this corner. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes you got that deuce in the quarter. Sometimes you got that nice Lewis Hamilton. Sometimes you got that that wide turn. Cutie pie. You know what I'm saying? You can't tell. You remember back in the old days, those movies, what was it, Flip Wilson, the Dolomite, all those.
Yeah,
when you see him turn the corners, and you look at the car.
Eddie Murphy redoing the Dolomite.
Oh, yeah, that was dope. That was dope.
Oh, my God, was that movie hysterical.
And it was informative, too, about really what he was and what those movies were about. When you see them things turn the corner, like, damn, did my door handle touch the ground? The whole thing,
just goes rolling away.
That's how some feels are.
And those shows were great, too, because you'd see the hubcap flying off, right? And then the next scene, the car's hubcaps are all on. Like, wait a minute, that hubcap popped off. 800-919-3776.
Dude got 20 shots in a revolver. Like, man, come on, man. Are you still shooting?
Yeah, that's a good point, too. Wait, I counted 8 shots. What are you doing?
Exactly, man.
The carry stuff. The carry stuff got people, like, going the wrong way, man. I like I said, it does. I've asked this before. You know, what he said is it's disrespectful. It's unnecessary, all that stuff. It's elitist, whatever. But the bottom line is, if he doesn't want to talk, don't talk. I don't care. Like, why do fans care? I know media cares. Do fans really care that he doesn't talk? That if you want to hear from him, you got to follow him on Instagram or whatever. Like, do fans care?
You shouldn't.
It shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter to me.
I mean, we live in a world now where athletes control their content. They break their own news. They tell you when they're getting traded, tell you when they got cut, tell you when they got an extension. You kind of got to get used to it. But if you're in front of a bunch of reporters and they ask you a question, you have a choice to answer however you want to answer it. But you still have to give them the respect of actually being there.
Maybe if you're looking at it that way and you signed a contract and in that contract is a responsibility to the media, that's part of the NBA deal and you're not holding up that end of it. If you want to go there with it, that's fine. But it's not about the logistics of it. To me, it's about the emotion of it. Right. If you're a fan, because when you're in the media, you're basically the conduit to the fans, right? That's what you're doing. You're covering the team, you're covering the league, you're covering the stories, and you're writing it for fans, not each other. So if Kyrie doesn't want to talk to the media, the question is, do the fans care?
Okay, Kyrie's talking about Shorty.
Kyrie's not talking to the media, so we won't have quotes from him. That's it. And so you now know if there's no quotes, why aren't you having quotes from Kyrie? Because he doesn't talk. Okay, that's the end of that. Like, move on.
Yeah, because this is the thing. Like, they speak to their fans and their followers and those who like them through their social media platforms or through their the
podcasts. Room. Yeah, all that stuff that they have, right.
Athletes have started to try and take control of their own content and understand that the same way that people pay to hear interviews or go get papers, they'll pay the athlete or join them, which is marketing power for themselves. So they found ways to kind of monetize their words and their beliefs and what they believe in by doing that. So, you know, if they don't want to be forthright or forthcoming with the media, like, who cares? But the media still has a job to ask a question. They still have the right to ask a question. You can answer however you want to. You can be a jerk all you want to. That's your brand. That's you.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like. Yeah, okay. That's what I wanted to get.
I don't care.
I don't really care. To me, again, it's turning into a controversy as I'm seeing on social media. People are really reacting to it, and I'm thinking, how does it change anything? The league's still the league. The game's still the game. You know, it's just you don't hear from him in a Zoom after a game. Oh, well. Like, okay, I'll ask somebody else. Right. And if I'm KD, I'm like, well, now I got to ask you more things.
Right.
Right?
See, some other people where he's not going to talk to the media, somebody else will fill that gap. And then they become stars because they're going to use media to try and get stories and introduce yourself to the world so they can know who you are, because some people don't have to introduce
yourself. I would love to. You know what you do if you really wanted to be that guy in the media? If you wanted to be one of those reporters, like if you're on the Nets beat, you just want to be that guy. Every time KD does talk to the media, you go, Kevin, how did Kyrie feel about this?
Right.
Like, you almost make Kevin like his spokesperson.
Yep.
Kevin, can you tell me, how was Kyrie here? What did Kyrie think about that play? Because then you know him. He'd be
I
don't ask Kyrie. Well, we can't.
All right, so can you ask Kyrie? Can you get back to us?
Like, if you really wanted to start that, you could. But the bottom line is, in the grand scheme of things, who cares, right?
I just want to see the game.
Does he show up and play? Because that's what you should care about.
Is he going to play a full season?
They're only playing two preseason games, by the way.
But Kyrie has no excuse for load management. He has no excuse not to play the whole season, right?
Yeah, he didn't go to the bubble, remember?
Right. So we don't want to see him with the excuse that, hey, we can't play. We shouldn't be. I can't be playing. This is too much on my body.
Him
Come
especially.
On, bro, this is half
KD,
the season.
No, well,
this is
half the season. KD, I could see you. You got to ease him
injury.
In.
Yeah.
Kyrie hasn't played in 9 months.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. And the Jets tonight. The Jets Sunday at 4 o'clock. The Jets play. The Knicks are tonight. The Jets are Sunday at 4 o'clock against the Seahawks. No Denzel Mims, as we already knew about.
Right.
I think is Perriman is some uncertainty with Perriman. I believe Bart.
Man, Perriman doing that. Then that means Perriman just trying to save it. So listen, if I was Perriman, I would love to go against his team. Every throw's open. Are you kidding me?
Oh, is it Crowder? Maybe it's Crowder. Yeah. I'm getting all the wide receivers mixed up. Bottom line is that you're right about this Seahawks defense, and maybe Sam could.
Well, not without Crowder and without Mims, you're going to get killed again, because now you're back to Braxton Berrios and Vincent Smith and the other Smith. I don't know.
Why does this always happen?
So now it's crazy. Oh, so now Sam's going to look like crap. Way to improve the draft status, or way to improve the trade value. Way to go by making them look like crap against the worst team. You had an opportunity to go against one of the worst pass defenses in the game. Sam could have looked great. And then listen, now they're going to let Jamal come in and two-step and on the damn logo. And so, but this is the thing. Like, if I was them, I know Jamal is in pursuit of the Adrian Wilson 8.5 sack from his safety. Yes. I would be saying, you know what? I'm putting two guys on the right side, whichever side he is. I'm knocking him off unless he's coming on Becton's side. I'm saying, you know what? You want
Highway
this smoke?
77.
You want this sack? Come on over here, brother.
You want some pancakes?
Yeah, come on over here.
You want pancakes?
Yeah. Game blouses.
Can you snatch my nut?
Well, speaking of Jamal Adams, he leads audio files.
The audio file.
You have been on the edge all day, and it started on Get Up, man, when you started fighting with everybody at the end of the show, too. So, all right. Speaking of Jamal Adams, yes, he absolutely is looking forward to this opportunity to play the Jets, isn't he?
I'm focused. I'm not gonna get into the hype. I'll be there at the game when they show up. They strap their helmet up just like I strap my helmet up. You know, we're gonna go to work. It's simple as that, bro. I'm about that business, bro. Man, I'm at peace with all that. Man, I have a lot of relationships over there, even on the staff and whatnot. So I still keep in contact with the ones that's been there for me and the ones that have always had my back. You know, we still have a relationship to this day.
So that was from the 17 week pod.
Bro, who the hell he called this season from the Jets? Come on, man, really? Maybe Marcus when he's like, I'm out. You ain't called nobody from the damn Jets to check on no damn body. And listen, half the people you have relationships with, Craig Williams gone, bro. Who there? Who left there? Your safety coach? You talk to him, get out of here. You ain't eating dinner or ain't taking nobody out to eat when you come here from New York.
Does he put a little something extra if he hits Sam Darnold? A little extra on?
He gonna his celebration gonna be high. Yeah. But if he don't get it, what if he says, what if Sam says, say hello to my little friend. Hey, Becton, I don't like him.
What do you mean? Remember Necessary Roughness? When Sam Bass, I will not let them harm you, Mr. Blake.
And Sam Bass was like, it's time to party. You know what I'm saying? He come over with that smoke. No. He like, no, Sam, I got this. Jamal, come on. You want this? Come on. Here you go. Come on, partner. If you can beat him, you deserve to be. Like, what did he say? If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a dodgeball. Yeah. If you can get past Mekhi Becton, then you can go ahead and have a sack. But guess what? You're probably going to get some pancakes. You're probably going to get body slammed and laid on top of. I tell Becton, if he come over here, I want you to mad dog him. If he lines up here on the left side, I don't care what the play is. I don't care if it's 3rd and 55. We check into a run. And Becton, I want you to put both hands on him, grab him, and land on top of him.
You're quoting Patches O'Houlihan.
It's time to party.
Oh, my God.
I love Sinbad in that movie, man. Shout out to Sinbad. He had a stroke not too long ago, but he's getting back, man.
Good.
And shout out to Jeff Blake, a.k.a. I love the quarterback. He was actually from Quantum Leap.
Let's jump into college basketball real quick on this topic, only because it's something that we're not going to get a lot of time on, but it is very interesting that he said this, and there was a counter to what he said. So first, here's Coach K. Duke has canceled the rest of their non-conference schedule after they lost their first two games. And remember, he questioned the whole idea of whether we should even be playing right now or not. So here's Coach K on SiriusXM.
We've had games postponed or canceled, and we took the initiative to say we're not going to play any more non-conference games. And the other thing we said is let our kids go home for Christmas. Now, that might not be Christmas Day, but they're going to be home for 4 or 5 days. They need a break, mental health-wise. So that's what we're doing. Whatever anyone else does, that'll be good. But I would like to see there have more dialogue about it and not just say we're going to plow through.
They need a break. They ain't did nothing. What the hell you mean they need a break?
Yeah.
And go home to grandma. You ain't going to go home and kill grandma at dinner table. Hell no.
Let him go home.
Keep that young butt there and let him play. Why would they need to go home? Why would they need to go home? Traveling to the airport.
For their families.
Okay, so you go home. Then when you come back, now you got to quarantine for 14 days all over again. How stupid is that?
Well, you want to hear this response, by the way, from Nate Oates, who's a coach at Alabama. And he had a problem with this. In fact, he said, he's coaching Alabama. He goes, do you think Coach K hadn't lost his two non-conference games at home that he would still be saying that? He goes, we 100% should be playing basketball. So we got a little controversy. Okay, but that's Coach K on that. Now, last but not least, Jason Wright was on KJZ this morning, and we're playing this for a reason because, and Anthony really felt strongly about this, and I'm with him. Now, you know, he now is president of the Washington football team. Dan Snyder has basically brought him in as they made a lot of changes with that organization. And one of them, obviously, bringing an African-American, a former player, and putting him in charge of the organization and then saying, you're in charge. You have full autonomy. Dan Snyder is taking his hands off things as he was always accused that he was doing. So here's Jason Wright talking about how important that is to have that type of autonomy. Take a listen.
Coach and I really do have the autonomy to do what we need to do. We've had to make big decisions, whether it's around personnel decisions or whatever it is, and there's been no hindrance in the way. There's no second voice. There's no one saying, hey, I actually want you to do things this way. We've been able to do our thing. And what that means on my side is the quickest way to start to shift the culture is to get the right leadership team in place. And for various different reasons, I think I've turned over about 80% of our leadership team.
Bar, let me ask you a question now. With that in mind, what we're seeing in Washington, and you're seeing that that's a team that look that's starting to look better. They're trending up just like the Giants. They have him in charge, and he doesn't have ownership over the top of him. It's him and Ron Rivera. When we think about where the Jets are headed, with a likely change at coach, we like Joe Douglas. Could we ever see a scenario where the Johnsons look at that and Joe Douglas, and they trust Joe Douglas enough and say, you know what? You have the autonomy. You go ahead and lead the way in helping us find our coach, and you become what Jason Wright obviously has that power to do now. Can we ever see that with the Jets, and could Joe Douglas be that guy that gets that opportunity to do it?
I'm hoping he's the guy that gets that opportunity. I could see it, but I think that's something that has to be initiated by Joe Douglas. Like, hey, man, listen, I know I'm 2 years in, but it's really only my first year because I got in late last year, so I didn't have a draft class. You see what I've been able to do with my first draft class. We got guys that can play. I got us in great salary cap health. Yeah, it was a tough season, but now I have opportunity to get a generational quarterback. We need a traditional structure. It's no need for us to try and reinvent the wheel. It's already been invented. We need to be able to have an order of command where it's me to you and the coach to me. We can't have guys coming up telling on each other because they're trying to protect themselves, because at the end of the day, it's about winning. If we don't win, both of us are going to get fired. It doesn't matter which one of us gets fired first. So let's change the structure. Just give me opportunity. You brought me in here because you trust me. If you don't trust me, then you should let me go now, because if you do trust me, I can turn this thing around if you let me do it my way, but I need to be able to go do what I need to do.
I'm just wondering if the Johnsons would ever do it, but I mean, no one ever thought that Dan Snyder would, but there's something about having that type of leadership structure in place, and that's what Wright said. You can't change a culture until you have strong leadership. Well, you've got to have that in place, and for the Jets, that's been absent for too long of a time here.
We got to see which Johnson is pulling the strings, because we don't know if Biden wins, then and Woody's going to
Woody back.
Woody's going to come back. If not, then Woody's going to stay in London with a bloaty umbrella. They would say bloat out there. Hey, bloody bloat.
Is that how it goes?
Yeah, I mean, at least when I went out there a couple of times, bloody bloat,
bloody bloat. Okay.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
Let's cash it in this week. We want. Look, by the way, how big of a game did we have yesterday? Am I right?
I thought we did our thug dizzle.
I want to say that again.
Did our thug dizzle. Let me unmute.
We did. We're making money lately, and that's a good thing.
Cam Akers.
And now listen, dude, Akers came up huge. All right, so today, on Fridays, we usually will pick the locals, and then we take one game each. So let's do the locals first. The first game of the day is Giants-Cardinals. Giants at home. Cardinals, last I checked, Cardinals as the road team are laying 3. Disrespectful. And so I'm going to take that disrespect. I'm going to crumble it up. And I'm going to throw it in the wastebasket. Yes, I called it a wastebasket. And I'm going to take the Fighting Joe Judges. And I'm going to take those 3 points.
The Fighting Joe Judges.
And Kyler Murray, a.k.a. Stewie, is about to get shut down again. And Bart is going to have his revenge.
I love that,
on
too.
On Phoenix. As they all go, Bart, you were right. You were right.
The human Stewie. His head looks like a sideways football. Kyler Murray. He just hiding with the afro. But I tell you what, I'm gonna second that motion, because I'm for all the smoke. I love a good car crash, and I see that Kyler Murray is driving into an embankment, but he don't know.
Oh, no.
Or he's driving on the road. He don't see that black ice. To quote Goody Mob, Black Ice, one of the best hip-hop albums ever. He's about to hit that black ice and crash into the embankment. Ha, ha, ha. I was right. And it's not about me wanting to be, care about, if they win or lose. It's just about me being right. This is me being a narcissist.
Always about that.
This is about me being a narcissist and me wanting to be able to have the last laugh. So I'm definitely going to take the Giants plus the 3.
Watch the Giants again. Like I said, I gave you that number early in the show. If you missed it, I'll give it to you again. Blitzing is what it's going to be all about. Not blitzing. Blitzing. Because over the last 5 games, teams are blitzing 35% of the time against the Cardinals, and Kyler Murray's total QBR is 68 and his completion percentage is 53. Over the first seven games of the season, teams blitzed only 17% of the time, and his completion percentage was almost 70%, and his QBR was 96. That's what you got to do. You got to blitz and contain, because 61 rushing yards total over the last three games, and they're all L's. And he's 3-12-1 when he's held under 40 yards rushing in a game. So you got to just handle your business. And Kyler Murray is your business, Giants defense. Patrick Graham starting to get some looks now. Maybe head coach somewhere. Well, this is another important game for the Giants. And this brings you, if they win, to a 70% FPI probability to win the NFC East. That's why this game's important. I'm taking the Giants. Okay. Then at 4 o'clock, we have the Jets and the Seahawks in the Jamal Adams Bowl. And the Seahawks are at home, and they are laying 13.5. And I'm not even going to bother. I'm just taking the Seahawks, sitting back. No Mims for Darnold. Crowder may be limited as well. I know the Seahawks defense is not very good, but the Jets are just in a weird place right now. They might be emotional coming off that loss to the Raiders where they thought they had a win. This team's determined to try to get a win. This ain't the week. I'm going with the Seahawks, Bart.
Yeah, this is what I miss. I miss, like, the controversy, right? Because remember, Greg Williams said, let's see how Jamal likes not blitzing. He has 7.5 sacks. So I want to see if Greg Williams is a habitual line stepper, would have had a little something sweet in the pot for a guy like Becton, or had something sweet in the spot for a guy like Fant. Like, hey, sweep the leg. You know what I'm saying? Sweep the leg. You know what I'm saying? You ain't nothing, Russo. You ain't nothing, Russo. No mercy. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to see that, but we ain't going to see that. So let's see if Jamal dares get on road 77, or when the defense coordinator calls that blitz. Let's see if Jamal audibles and say, guess what? I'm going over the other side, because I ain't no fool. I ain't trying to get my curls knocked straight. You crazy? I seen what that man did with grown men. That dude got back fat that weigh more than me. It's no way in hell I'm running on Route 46. And this dude mean as hell, too. And it look like he ate nothing. He hungry? Hell no. He might want to eat me up. Gobble, gobble. Or give me a hug. Either way, I'm afraid of it. But I'm gonna take Seattle and all of it. I'm gonna take Seattle.
Now we'll pick our other games. I'll go quick. I'm going against you here. I'm taking the Chargers and I'm taking the 2.5 points. The Chargers are at home. And I know they got smoked by the Patriots. Everybody's calling for Anthony Lynn's job, but they're playing the Falcons. The Falcons don't have Julio, and I'm going against you because you always pick the Falcons. And I'm saying, okay,
really?
Then I'm going the other way and I'm gonna get some money. So Chargers, Herbert, home, 2.5 points in my pocket. I'll take it, and I'm moving on. You have 20 seconds. Go.
Well, I'm going to take the Vegas Raiders to bounce back. They got lucky last week, but when they play well, they're a team that's capable of beating the Kansas City Chiefs twice. I think that this coach's defense is running out of magic, so I'm going to go with the Las Vegas Raiders on a Golden Nugget style, baby. That's how I'm rolling.
You're going Golden Nuggets on the Raiders. The Raiders, what was that game? The Raiders at two plus three. All right, you're putting 3 points in your pocket as the home team. I like it. I like it a lot. All right. Bart, this has been a great week. You've had quite the day. And I've got the Knicks tonight, a little preseason action. You want to watch Obi? Watch us tonight on MSG. And Bart, until then, I'll see you Monday.
I'll holla.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.